Thanks, Ethan. Now, we don't have any announcements, so we're just going to invite Brother Ken to come up and give us his introductory words.
Thank you, Brother Dan, and good morning, everyone. Couple of good parables this morning. Today's parables will focus, as we know, on two fundamental aspects. One is godly love, and the other is forgiveness. And they will take our minds to God's thoughts in both of these subjects. And you'll notice as we go through the parables that Jesus couldn't just teach people about the truth. He simultaneously has to expose the error of his day. Because the people have been brought up to believe that when you go into the temple to pray for your forgiveness, you look around the room and look at how awful everyone else is, and then you approach God in prayer, thank him that you're not like them. And they have been brought up to believe that when you see a person in need, the first thing you ask yourself is, what will it cost me to help that person? Will I become contaminated in trying to help them? And if so, I ought to walk on the other side of the road. So the parables this morning, and not just these two, they have a dual objective: to refute error while advancing truth. So what Jesus has to do in speaking these parables is both expose the error of the false religious system of his day, while at the same time advancing God's truth. So in the parable of the Good Samaritan, this false religious system is exposed for what it is. A man lies dying on the side of the road. He is brutally beaten and bloodied and left for dead. And because the Levite and the priest were so concerned about contamination, they wouldn't even cross the road to help him. What an amazing religion that would cause a person to conclude, I ought not go help that person who is near death. You see, the parables today are going to challenge us, brethren and sisters and young people, about the religion we believe. I'm not talking about the truth now in our statement of faith. It incorporates that, but the religion that each of us practice. How do we respond to a person in need? And the warning and the danger of the priest and the Levite is that we can know the truth. They knew the law of Moses. We can know the truth, and we can still pass by the other side. They in their religion lacked compassion. Watch for compassion in the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a key concept that Jesus is emphasizing. So much so, when the parable gets all done, he brings the lawyer back to this concept of compassion. Because in all of their religiosity, the religion of Jesus' day lacked compassion. The thinking of the false religious system is also exposed in the thinking of the young lawyer. He comes to Jesus and he attempts to trick him. Being unsuccessful, he then attempts to justify himself. Who will be in the kingdom, Lord? All those who love their neighbors, correct? Who better than I to love my neighbor? And who is my neighbor, Lord? And Jesus says, stop right there. You're asking yourself the wrong question. You're trying to figure out who your neighbor is. I say unto you, figure out what godly love is, and then go and practice that. These parables were designed to initiate drastic changes in people's thinking. They're not just these little stories that have a cute meaning that you might see in Aesop's fables. These parables have divine principles that are designed to challenge our thinking, to change us, to cause us to change how we are living. And you'll see that in both parables today. This self-righteous lawyer provides the setting for the parable. He knew the truth. He could recite the law. But he wasn't prepared to live what he could recite. In the parables of the Pharisee and the publican, we'll also see Jesus exposing the false religion of his day in order to first remove their credibility while simultaneously teaching the truth. So he has to show the people why the present religion of their day is wrong, while at the same time showing them what is right. And he does it by contrasting, both in the parable of the Good Samaritan and the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And to do this, he presents the parable, which illustrates the behavior followed by the religion of the Pharisees, juxtaposing their religion and conduct alongside the truth, represented by a publican. Imagine that. God's truth represented by a publican. But such is the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The two religions, and they were separate. You read through the Gospels, it isn't just in the parables that Jesus is contrasting the two religions. The two religions led to entirely two different patterns of behavior, two different ways of life. One is rooted in pride and promoting self-worth. The other is rooted in humility and promoting the need for God's grace. The false religious system that Jesus is depicting in this second parable is so deplorable it makes you sick. Imagine someone going into meeting on Sunday and looking around and saying, "Boy, God, I am sure glad I am not so sinful like all these other brothers and sisters. Now let me tell you all the good things I've done this week." That was the religion of Jesus' day. By contrast, along comes this humble and contrite publican, a man whom the Pharisees would have nothing to do with. And what does he do? He reflects the essence of Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm of David after his sin with Bathsheba. And the beauty of Psalm 51 is it describes in detail not the sin, but the way back to God. Every sinner must go through the door of Psalm 51 if they seek to be reconciled to God. And that's exactly what this publican does. So that not only is Jesus teaching us the right spirit with which to approach our God in with our sins, he's also exposing the haughty and proud and self-righteous spirit of the Pharisees. The haughty and proud and self-righteous spirit of the Pharisees. Now, tie this back in to last night. Who do you think the Pharisees are a type of? How many comparisons can you just mentally rip off in your mind? Sorry, poor choice of words. Run through in your mind. That compares the Pharisees with sin. And it's there in parable form for us to see. And the sad part is, today it is so often that brethren and sisters going around saying, "Well, he's a Pharisee, and she thinks like a Pharisee, and she acts like a Pharisee." That's like us going around saying, "Well, you look like a Philistine, and you look like Jezebel, and you act like Haman." That's not why God has included this in the world. When we see how the Pharisees act and think with all their self-righteousness and all their pride and all their self-conceit, and how they come to God for forgiveness, and their basis of forgiveness is, "God, look at how good a person I am." That's our human flesh, our human mind, our human spirit. That's what God is representing in how the actions and the conduct and the thinking and the prayers of the Pharisees are recorded in Scripture, so that we will see each of us has an element of the Pharisaical thinking in us. And it isn't just an element. Anybody in this room better than me? Maybe one. Maybe two. That's the spirit of the Pharisees. That's the spirit of human nature. So these parables are rich in exposing not just the two religions, but God's truth juxtaposed against human thinking. Regarding the parable of the Good Samaritan, the workbook spent a page or two regarding the application of the parable to how God redeems us through Christ, and I think it's an excellent summary. But also, as we know, the parable is about godly love, what it is, what it looks like when it's practiced, and if nothing else, the parable is teaching us in answer to the question, what must a person do to inherit eternal life? The simple answer is to learn to live, learn to love like God loves. Learn to love with godly love. Don't try to put parameters about it, around it. Don't try to exclude a class of people from it. Don't try to say, only in these circumstances do I need to show it. The key to eternal life in this parable is to learn to live and to learn to love like God loves. You know, too, in the parable as you go through it, how Jesus in his wisdom ensures that the people, as they hear the parable, will put themselves in the right position. If Jesus had said, instead of there being a good Samaritan, there was a good Judean, or there was a good Jerusalemite, who would all the listeners in the parable immediately associate themselves with? The one who does good in the parable, because of our natural thinking. But what does Jesus do? He says, no, there was a Samaritan. Well, I'm not going to put myself in that position. And what else happens in this parable? Oh, there's a certain man who's left for dead. Oh. And there's these robbers. No, I don't want to be one of them. And there's a priest and a Levite. Well, I'm not one of them. So who's there left for me to be in the parable? The man who is left beaten and bloody, half dead. That's us. And what would I need if I was in that situation? I wouldn't care who it was that came by. It could be a bad Samaritan who came by. And if someone was willing to lift me up and address my needs, I would love for such a person to come by. And so Jesus is teaching the Jews, he's teaching all of us, that that is the kind of love we need to show forth in our living. None of us put ourselves in the position of the Good Samaritan upon first reading it. At least none of the Jews did, because Jesus is trying to get them to see that's the change in your thinking that we're looking for. So I think we'll leave it there, turn it back to Brother Dan, and look forward to our discussions this morning.